All right. Thanks for giving me an update on our regional schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna go to work soon.
Big match coming up. Big match.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours as we get into our Leaf Edition hour. Toronto Maple Leafs snap their three-game losing streak. They snap the Winnipeg Jets 8-0 start out of the gate. And the Jets don't come close to the Leaf 10-0 run that started in 94. They got out of the gate. Only fitting, right? The Leafs shut down the Winnipeg last night.
Defended the Leafs' history. That's great. The Jets had beat no one. You go back and look at that. They had beat no one. I'm just saying.
Jets slander right out the gate.
They beat the Oilers in game one, and then they beat seven non-playoff
teams. All right.
I'm sorry.
I'm not trying to take away from the Leafs. I'm just saying it's true.
When Sean Reynolds was on yesterday.
He said it.
But you needed to say it right out of the gate.
It's over. This is Leafs hour. No one's listening to Winnipeg anymore. That team's no good.
I did the exact same thing on Leafs Talk last night. Oh, yeah. I went through the schedule. It was like bad win.
Bad. They're fine. The Jets are fine.
Yeah. Where are we on? on style of play for 60 minutes or end result, a little bit of both. Not so much one way than the other, but like, what was the most important thing out of last night you got from the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Before you get into that,
yes.
Just that drop that we just played, yeah. Is there anything better than beating the Leafs? They have not beat the Leafs since. The Leafs are 6-0 since that clip.
It's just Shifley said.
Anyways, continue.
So is that like now?
That's the new Bambino curse.
Yeah. Is that the curse?
Sure.
Let's hear it.
Oh,
no, okay.
How far
ago was that?
A while ago, six games.
A couple years.
Like, what, 4 years? They only play each other like once a year, twice a year.
That was probably 2021, 2022. I can't remember.
I'll say the biggest takeaway for me is getting up 4-0. You know, like they went out there, there was question marks. What were the shots in the first period? 18-6 or something, pretty out of hand. Like the Leafs went out there and we talked about crisis of identity.
Yes.
And I thought they went out there and did the Berube things. They went out there and, you know, straight lines, physical, took care of business. And you?
Energy-wise, like the gaps between a forecheck or the defense closing off the middle of the ice or the back pressure came through again for me. Like, as consistent as we saw...
To break.
As consistent as we saw against Tampa, no. Yeah. But they had much better energy. I thought they... From top to bottom, they had a sense of urgency into we really sucked and we need to end this now.
I think what's crazy is that didn't happen against St. Louis after Columbus. Like, I thought that was the game we were going to get last night's effort. But I do take some comfort in that the things I've thought about this team are visible last night. That when there is that buy-in and committed, everyone plays the same way. It can look really good. It looked really good for a lot of last night.
Do your job.
Yeah, things started to slip a little, but by and large, I thought they did their job.
Sammy, how I didn't catch any of your post-game show last night.
Do you usually catch them?
No, but okay. I thought it was appropriate that I opened up with a comment that maybe some people
implied.
Would imply or believe that I would have watched it, but I got busy or...
Yeah, listen, it's okay.
You don't sleep?
Listen, I don't go to sleep much long. Like, after Leafs Talk's done, it's not long till I'm asleep either. But
what did you and JD kind of chew on after?
I think the second line coming together there of going back to the well of Tavares and Nylander and moving Pacioretty up there is something that I was not a fan of. I don't think any of us were a fan of. And I think there's been a lot of conversation about the decline of John Tavares, which is fair. I think it's a real conversation. But then I also do feel a little bit guilty that when you put him with two NHL caliber wingers, he doesn't look so bad anymore, right? Like he was at the start this year, he's playing with whoever at the bottom half of the lineup, Nick Robertson, Holmberg, whoever they'd put him with, McMahon, they put him with two good wingers and he starts to look a little better. So I did feel a little guilty watching last night, him having a good game.
Patrick gets him to 5 goals, 4 assists, 9 points in 9 games. With Max Pacioretty, John Tavares, and William Nylander on the ice versus the Jets, the shot attempts were 16-7. The expected goals, 87%, and goals were 4-0 for the Leafs with that line on the ice. I don't know if that's a line I would bet on long-term, but I thought Pacioretty looked really good. I've actually thought he's looked good generally for them when he's in.
Best line out there. No one could touch the 9 points that they provided. I tip my hat to John Tavares because he came in feeling it for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of things that he's going through in the last little while that he's never experienced his whole career, including losing the captaincy and losing his regular spot at second line center, including down a minute and a half of your ice time.
Yeah.
Like all of it.
Off the top power play unit?
Off. Well.
PP2.
That just kind of recently happened.
Yeah.
But he's been forever since he signed a huge part of the Toronto Maple Leaf power play that is
an effective part of it.
An effective part and taking a ton of heat. So he's also feeling that on his shoulders. And for him to come in and score 3 goals, I thought was like says a lot, you know, about still where he thinks he is or where he thinks he should be. And that one was a reminder that this is kind of what people were expecting, I think, you know, since the moment he signed 6 years ago, a $77 million contract.
It's funny because, like, he has such a nose for the net. That's just, like, one of the things he does very well, and he plays in that blue paint. It's why it's so perplexing when he has stretches at 5-on-5 where he won't score for 20 games, you know? Like, he...
Well, the one thing that he's been notorious for is, like, he's got great timing around the net.
Yeah, he knows.
And last night was, again, a simple situation where Pacioretty on the first goal makes an unbelievable slide over on one-hander. But, like, you got to be there, and you got to sense it. And he's always had great timing in front of the net, and that's been his bread and butter. But if it's not there and there is no puck luck as well, then, listen, I'm not taking away anything out of the 9 points that they had. But there was some puck luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is...
Over the course of the season, you have some nights where you get it.
And right now, Austin does not have it.
No.
And I thought Austin was better. I thought he was more forceful last night. I think him and Mitch had the puck all night last night for me. But right now, what's missing with Austin is some puck luck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, his shooting percentage is like 16. Usually he's at 7% this year. Some pucks are going to go in. Do you want to hear Berube? So we got a few on Berube, and we've talked about a few of these things. Overview of the game, on the start, or on that line. Any of them work for me? Is there anywhere you want to start in particular?
Yeah, I want to get a sense of Berube and what he thought of last night's game.
Sure. Start with that overview, clip one.
I thought we were really good 5-on-5 tonight, you know. Played the right way the whole game. You know, penalties got us in trouble. You know, got to do a better job there of not taking them, but also getting the kills. And, you know, the 6-on-5 goal, the goalie out, we got to do a better job there. But it was a very good game, very solid game by our team. I thought everybody was really working and competing and skating and playing the right way.
All right, 5-on-5. That's,
yeah. Well, and John Tavares, it's been an issue with him 5-on-5. He's on for all 3 goals. Even strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was his 4th hat trick as a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Correct.
Without knowing what happened in the other 3 hat tricks, I'd probably say this was the first one where all 3 of them came even strength. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's not. It's not.
Yeah. But oh, yeah, I think you're probably.
Luckily, I wear this magical amulet.
He got the magic last
you
night.
Think
the universe aligned.
It kicked in.
I think it finally clicked.
Maybe the flu's over and now he's feeling 100% again.
Maybe he's back. Why don't we go to Berube for his thoughts on that line with Willie Tavares and Max Pacioretty? Clip 3, please.
Well, they had a heck of a game, right? They got it done offensively, and I thought that, you know, they went up against Scheifele's line for most of the game, and they were very good defensively.
Yeah, sounds about right. Very good defensively. It's a strong line. I'm surprised they had such a good night, I'll be honest.
Same.
Don't love the construction of that line. It's not... To me, it's shooter, shooter, shooter. So,
yeah,
you know, they got a couple of bounces and stuff, and that's great. And they even made some nice passes. I don't want to take away from last night. I'm saying long-term with that line, I'm not sold. It's a keeper.
for the regular season, though, like maybe that this is a wake-up call that you stop trying to make something other than John Tavares as a second-line center happen until you have something that is better than that. Maybe you look at the deadline or look what they do, but I don't know. Just watching him play with Willie, none of us love it, but is it not the best option for your second line still? You know, we talked about finding something that was lost yesterday, searching for your wallet. Maybe you actually found your wallet here and you just have to put it in your pocket and stick with it. I don't love it. No one loves it, but it's, I think it's better than probably Max Domi, isn't it?
Probably, yeah. Probably the case.
Or you just keep going with the flow.
See who's going and you put somebody in there.
I don't imagine that last night, really, to your point, JB, has changed their feeling about, wow, John's back, or this is the John that we're going to get now the rest of the season.
We don't have to solve this problem. Right? It's still a problem.
Like he still showed us last night he's a second-line centerman in the National Hockey League.
But I do wonder, Kip, like
That didn't happen, did it, last night?
No, but I think it does bring up the question, how many second-line centers in the NHL, even on the good teams, are 65, 70-point guys? You know, probably not a ton. That's a good number. It's a lot of points.
Yeah, but that's just one-dimensional thinking.
It is one-dimensional thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
And John's issue isn't he doesn't know where to stand in front of the net, I can assure you.
No.
But where the issues have been is carrying the puck over the blue line, making right decisions.
Yeah, when the games get heavier and faster, is he going to be able to...
Not finding yourself on the right side of a 50-50 puck and then watching the puck leave his zone. So those are still, I think, the concerns of the Leafs moving forward and ultimately what does it look like? Mm-hmm. So to Sammy's point, just when it's going, and when it's not,
you move somebody out.
Move Max in.
Yeah.
Move Holmberg up, move Kampf up, whatever the case is.
Let's, why don't we hear what Max Pacioretty weighed in on moving up the lineup.
I thought this was very interesting.
Get his thoughts.
So, a bit. I mean, obviously I was like playing a little bit of a different role here to start. And, you know, so to get bumped up and know that, you know, there's a chance here to pitch in and play a little bit more and pitch in offensively, I knew I had to... You know, bring my A game, I guess. And like I said, it's just easy to play with those guys. And as long as I'm moving my feet, I think that I can fit in with them.
Max Pacioretty, 2 goals and 3 assists, 5 points in 7 games. He's +4, and that's an 11:35 of ice time per game. Pretty efficient minutes he's given the Leafs when he's been in.
Yeah, and when he's moving his feet and when he feels good.
But that's him and Tavares. The two of them, they can be very effective when they're moving out there.
But at least Tavares is still a guy that you pencil in every day. Mm-hmm. They're not there with Pacioretty. They're not convinced.
But are you not so far? Like, I've seen enough now where I'm like, he's definitely better than having Holmberg in there or having
I'm not there.
No.
Well, because there's
maybe not
just
McMahon.
It's just the stretch.
How about Robertson?
That you can go with. Too small.
Yeah, I'm saying like Pacioretty's probably ahead of him, right? Like it's game one against Boston tonight. Who you got?
To Craig Berube's point, who's the opponent? How big are they? Who do I want in? Who do I want out? Unless some of these guys like McMahon, Pacioretty, Holmberg, Robertson step up and say, guess what? I ain't leaving the lineup.
Yeah.
This is the last time I'm a healthy scratch and I'm going to make it so hard for you to take me out of the lineup. I'm done with the healthy scratch. Until one of those guys says that, all you're going to see is probably a revolving door.
Yeah. How about, so Thursday night is the day that players can come off IR, long-term IR. So Dewar is going to be available after Halloween. So is Hawkenpaw. So both guys, I think they're combined. Salary is about $2.7 million. I mean, if they're ready to go, someone's going to have to go. Like, presumably Myers will go down to the American Hockey League, but someone else is going to have to move because these guys they're bringing in are pretty good players. Like, they're scratching pretty good hockey players, and a trade is probably going to have to happen unless you waive, I don't know, pick a name.
But to go back to the Pacioretty thing, like, that's a good point. But for now, for a couple of games here, he's played his way out of the press box rotation for me.
Yeah.
Like, I just, he's bigger. He's got touch.
Oh, and he can hit.
And he's using plays, his weight. Right? Like, I mean, half the plays last night that he made, all the goals were direct, you know, off of his hard work. The pass he makes to Willie, who does the behind the pass back, pokes it in front of the net.
We're really back to where we were a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, but how often can you do it? Mm-hmm. And how often do you want to do it?
How often do you need a guy to do it who's making $850,000? Like, I mean, what's a good output for his number? And it's probably, if he does that once every three games, pretty good.
He has done it, as opposed to Robertson or Holmberg, who have done nothing.
Yeah. But then dress him one out of every four games. Not
you just don't
four
know the
out of four.
Do it.
What's yeah. that?
You just don't know the games you're going to get it, right? Like,
well,
you've got to keep.
You've proven if he's well rested, you can get something good out of him or piss him off. That really helps players be motivated when they're pissed off for being a healthy scratch.
Our buddy Bunk is calling Nick Robertson scratch and score, isn't he? It was like last year he would get scratched, then come in and score.
So
Saturday night against Seattle, here comes a Nick Robertson.
Until you get a level of consistency. But when Patches felt good and had good legs and is motivated, like he hits.
Yeah.
He hits.
Big guy.
And he's got a lot of
McMahon,
touch.
You know, McMahon's got to hit like Pacioretty when he's feeling good.
We talked about this off air yesterday, that like if you know the coach wants you to be a certain type of guy, I was saying that I wasn't a certain type of guy, but there were times when I was like, I know my coach really wants me to go be something I'm not. I'll fight someone, get beat up, whatever. It's crazy to me that one of these guys hasn't been like, I'm going to win Berube's love and go do something like that.
And I told you that's a bad idea. It's a bad idea because
you don't think if Bobby McMahon went out there,
it's better to do nothing than go in there and have your attitude I'm going to get beat up or, but I'm at least going to show you
it wasn't
this
my attitude. It was just what happened. I didn't plan on losing,
but I can already,
but it's a willingness.
I can already sense that you don't believe in the role and you're just doing it for the sake of doing it. And that's not the purpose of going and confront somebody.
Well, listen, McMahon's never going to be it, though. He doesn't want to be that.
If he doesn't, and he's not scoring 20 goals or 25 goals, buddy, then time to leave.
But give me the guy who's willing to try the thing you want him to do. And I'm just surprised. I'm not saying he should. I don't think that's...
Yeah.
But it's just surprising that none of those guys have been like, okay, well, Holmberg fought in preseason, didn't he?
He did.
But if there's not a part of you that...
And he's got a lot of love from the
coach. That has enough fire in your belly to go in there and just fight for yourself and your pride. Like it serves no purpose to go in there and get beat up or end up at the bottom of a pile when you really had no business doing it.
I just think it shows your coach you're paying attention to what he wants you to do and earns you more opportunity.
Yeah.
And right now, Holmberg has been given so much opportunity this year. And has he been any better than McMahon?
I totally agree. Like it's the consistency. We've seen flashes out of all of them that they can be pretty good hockey players.
Yeah.
And like that depth is so needed. Obviously, the Leafs have extraordinary talent, and I don't think scoring 95 or 100 points again this year will be an issue. But that consistency that you're talking about to beat a Florida, a Tampa Bay, a Boston in the first round, and then face one of the teams I just mentioned and maybe in the second round to get to a potential of a conference final, you got to be well-trained over 82 games to show up when you don't feel like doing it.
Mm-hmm. Isn't consistency expensive, though, in terms of players?
Like, yeah, that's, tons of guys can get you one every four games. If you do it all the time, you're rich.
That's why, you know, you pay $40 million for four forwards, you're going to have to live with some inconsistencies in the bottom half of your lineup,
but
I think.
It's,
I like the line,
but it's,
consistencies.
Listen.
It is.
The whole idea is to have developed that by now. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, where the Leafs have failed. Like Pontus Holmberg, his development should be so advanced for me that he should be doing what Lindell's done.
That's a great analogy in Florida. He's so good.
Where it's like big, strong guy, knows he'll never be a top six star, but come in and just hold your own and be big and miserable and play 200 feet and have that skill. And like Lindell doesn't have the issues. Florida doesn't have the issues with a Lindell or some of their guys on the third or fourth line coming in and out.
No. Bigger issue last night for me. Special teams still not fixed. We talk, give him just, all this praise. Go ahead.
Just the Lindell thing. Like, I mean, he's a first round pick. Like, he's a top 15 guy.
Yeah.
Picked in the draft. Like, he's a pedigree guy. Like, what is Holmberg? Like, he's a
undrafted.
He's a fourth, fifth, like, or maybe he's a third, fourth round pick. Like, it's a little difference between a guy that's drafted in the top 15
and a guy who's a third round pick.
They're trying to develop.
But when the dust settles, Sammy, when the dust settles, they're more comparable than not. Like, no one's saying Lindell's failed. Or as a 15th overall pick.
He's 12th.
12th overall?
Yeah. Holmberg is a sixth round pick.
But no one's saying that he's underachieved or failed.
He's a Stanley Cup champion.
You just paid a heavy price for a guy that could come in and be big and strong.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you can get lucky and you don't have to spend a first round pick, but you can sign one as a free agent. But it's the development over the last 3 or 4 years that matter. Mm-hmm. Matthew Nyes. Is not a first-round pick. But when he's negotiating with the Toronto Maple Leafs, he will act like one of the top 22-year-olds in the world.
I know. You gave us your Slavkovsky comparable the other day.
Buddy, Slavkovsky, Quentin Byfield, Seth Jarvis, all of them. He's in that class. Yeah. Where if you want to sign him to a long-term deal, then you better be talking about $6.5 million to $8 million times eight. That's where Matthew Nyes is gone.
Jeez.
I mean, what did Quentin Byfield sign for? Not that.
Would you Google it, please?
I'm just looking right now. I just remember he just signed a contract. He's 5 years, $5.5 million. Like, if you are the Leafs, you're like, you're not going to make more than 30. Byfield. He scored 20 goals in the year. He's a center.
Buddy, right now, Matthew Nyes is more valuable than Byfield right now to Los Angeles.
I think I would. Well, so his cap is 6.25.
I don't know where.
6.25?
Yeah, for 5 years.
Byfield's?
Yeah, it's
6.25.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Didn't you say eight?
I said 6.5 to 8.
Okay.
Am I in the ballpark?
I don't know. I had not anticipated a number like that, so it doesn't feel like you are, but maybe you are. I don't know.
To buy UFA years off of these kids who are looking like sure bets, that's where that marketplace is.
Do you think they'll negotiate with Nyes in season? He's got 6 points in 10 games here.
He's a horse right now. Like last night, again, like, was that shorthanded rush where he did that little pivot in the neutral zone or in the slot, he's doing things now that you go, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he scored a lot in his life. He sniffs it out pretty good. He can create
and
his own
heavy.
Looks.
And he's heavy.
He's also killing penalties now too.
Yeah, it was shorthanded that I was talking about.
Honestly,
but
he's up 2 to 3 minutes.
I don't know if there's a huge rush to get there, but you could bridge him, right at three and a half. I don't know. And go from there. But all I'm saying is that he's turning into a very important player right now.
Yeah, he's been awesome. He really is a bright spot in this season and just a fun player to watch because you feel like he's going to win puck battles. He's going to create chances. Really a fun Maple Leaf right now.
I mean, the thing is with the way that they've traded away picks, and rightfully so, in your competitive window, you're going to trade away first-round picks. That's how they got Jake McCabe. They got a first-round pick. Like, there's things you're going to trade away first for. But the hope is that you would have had a Matthew Nyes on defense too. That a guy that comes up and is developed and is playing in your top half of your decor, or like another guy that's like a Matthew Nyes. They've just had so little help from the draft, and that's why they've had to sign guys to minimum contracts and try this stuff. And I think that's why Matthew Nyes sticks out. It's nice to have a guy. What's he made? He's on a minimum contract contributing on your top line. Sure, you're going to have to pay him. But right now, what he's making and what he's giving you, he is, in terms of importance to the Leafs, he is so, so high on the list. Like, I love watching
picture
him
that
right now.
Left side without him.
Yeah, him and McCabe are
bleak.
More crucial than people think.
It's bleak without him. He is a horse right now, and he's getting better every game, boys. He's improving.
He is.
Okay, the one thing that you mentioned was the power play.
Yeah, still nothing. What are they, 3 for 32 on the season now, 9%, puts them at 29th in the NHL, I believe.
Don't shoot the messenger here, but progress last night on an 0-for-2?
Yeah.
I thought it looked so much better.
Yeah. Okay. Good, good, good. I
and
thought you guys were going to
get that. Only one main reason, Marner had the puck more.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How about Willie, by the way, last year was getting like 18 shots per 60 or whatever. He's down to like 8. He never gets shots anymore. Now he's off it. I wonder if that's part of their lack of success. But anyway, he's not on that unit, so.
You know what it is for me? They're not deferring to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, there just seems to be more defined roles as opposed to on the top one when it's all those guys are like, oh, I'll pass to him. Way less deferring last night. Mm-hmm. Way more towards the net.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube on a Kippers Clipper on his power play.
I thought it was really good. I really liked what I saw by both units. Went downhill, they shot, recovered, attacked right away. You know, it didn't go in, but, you know, I thought that they looked good to me.
All right, just in progress. That's good.
And Morgan found a way to score a couple of goals in the last few games. And
that shot of his, by the way, Willie, great dish. And the shot by Morgan was unbelievable.
That's the best shot of his career.
Think so?
He's had a few.
Not like that. He stares down Connor Hellebuck, who's supposedly one of the best goalies in the world, and goes bar down on him over his left shoulder. That's the best shot I've ever seen Morgan Riley have. I'll say it.
All right. Well, we expected a little more from him offensively this year, so hopefully this is the start of him breaking out.
Stolar still finds a way to get his W's. I think he maybe it came back to earth a little bit, but when you come back to earth a little bit and still find a way to win, that's a really good sign.
He made some good saves. I find he reads backdoor plays really well, gets across and plays where you're like, oh boy. And he's like, okay, he's across and solid. Yeah, a couple went in that maybe he didn't love, but
it was the first game where I was like,
Does anybody kind of catch and release better than Kyle Connor right now?
No, I mean,
that's off the charts stuff.
One of his goals got really taken away. It wasn't a hat trick.
His Filardi or something?
Yeah. Really impressive, though.
Yeah.
And their power play still looks dynamite, even though that I thought they were so flat to start the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they were tired coming off a couple games on the road and that early adjustment, but they were behind a step. And I thought Hellebuck had a chance to get pulled at 4-0. And it just didn't happen.
Yeah. You see Sam chirping him on Twitter?
He was first round Hellebuck.
You see him on Twitter?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a goalie in the world, like a quote-unquote good goalie that I have less, you know, fear of than him.
He's not afraid of him in the Four Nations face-off Canada.
He'll be the third goalie. Like, last night he was swimming all over the place.
Last year.
You could trick me. Like, I every game I watch him, like, I guess I don't watch him much in the regular season. I watch him in the playoffs, he gets lit up. Every game against the Leafs, they shoot 5 or 6 by him. I don't know.
Bunkus is like, you're jinxing Canada. And I think Sam said, never seen him play a good game, I think, when he responded.
That's true. I don't know. He just swims around. And like
his body language just says, I've never given up a bad goal in my life.
Right, which you want your goalie to feel that way.
Okay.
You know?
But every once in a while,
when you are giving him up,
maybe.
Yeah.
Nope. When you are giving him up, like, I don't know.
Flawless.
Who?
Hellebuck. Then his opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He believes himself to be flawless.
Well, it is nice. I think you just mentioned the desperate, like, the Jets not looking, looking a little tired. You could tell that one of these teams is on an 8-game winning streak on the first game home from a road trip, and one team's market is burning.
Yeah.
Where they're writing articles about how, like, Leaf fans, like, how much more can they take and all this different stuff. You could definitely see that. And I needed that one last night for my mental health. It's nice to see.
We called it. We called it yesterday coming out of the show that they would.
There were tons of chants, too, right? I mean, it was just half the building must have been Leaf fans.
Yeah.
Well, I was upset with the Amazon. Forsley was like, oh, the Jets fans are really into it. I'm like, those are Leaf fans. Forsley, they're Leaf fans. He's saying them like, it's go, Leafs, go. It's clearly, and they're like, the Jets fans are really chanting. And I'm like, no, it was the Leafs.
The best thing about having a Forsley and is it Thomas Hickey on the call is that they don't watch the Leafs every day and don't have the scars. So they don't know how it all goes all the time. They just say positive things all the time.
Yeah.
If you watch long enough, you know how this, this movie ends.
They're selling subscriptions. All right.
Actually, the way the Leafs played last night, I'm going to start calling them the Bezos boys. They're red hot. They're red hot.
That power play was red hot.
Oh my God.
What wasn't red hot? Matthews, red hot. Everything's red hot.
But the Jets' power play is terrifying.
He's very good.
They find Kyle Connor in the right spot, and he shoots it in. Yeah. So.
And that's honest. Like, that's one thing the Leafs have to aspire is to – there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to move a puck like that quickly. And even Scheifele's cross-ice seam pass, that one gets broken up time and time again if you're the Leafs, and that one finds a way to get through. What is the difference?
Not sure the answer there, but needs to be figured out. We should get to Ralphie.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Sammy.
Well, no, I was just going to say that I wanted to point out a play that Tanev made last night, but it's not necessarily important. But at the end of the game, he was on for a couple against last night. I didn't think he had his strongest game. Mm-hmm. End of the third period, they pull the goalie. The puck gets rimmed around. There's a couple Jets chasing him. He's under pressure. He's on the right side of the ice with a right-hand shot, picks it out of the corner, makes a great saucer pass to Tavares, and Tavares backhands it in. And I'm just thinking to myself, what would DJ Brody have done in that situation?
Rim it into someone's skates.
He would have beat it to a square, and Kyle Connor would have shot it in
time. Is anyone close in the league to him in block shots?
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
He eats them.
Eats them.
It's all he does. It's unbelievable.
Never
give that man
seen,
his money because that doesn't look fun.
I've never seen a player in 40 years put himself in such vulnerable and dangerous places constantly as he does.
The second highest shot block total in the Leafs is Jake McCabe with 20, and Tanev has 38. Double the second.
38?
That is first in the NHL. Ahead of Rasmus Anderson by six.
Yeah.
He's running away with the block shot lead.
Come on.
That's insane. Well,
Chris, if you're listening,
stop it.
One flamingo. Give me a flamingo.
pray for the 15 games that is in February and not April.
I don't know if I ever blocked 38 shots lifetime. Lifetime. I may not have blocked 38 shots.
We won't make fun of him if he flamingos one.
Yeah, you will.
Two-foot jump, if you ask me.
All right.
Okay, let's take a quick break. When we return, we'll get Jim Ralph's thoughts on what happened last night. Winnipeg Jets get their winning streak shut down by the Toronto Maple Leafs. In the top of the hour, we welcome back Steve Aliquette, analyst with the New York Rangers, MSG, and also a great guest of our show. Now on Tuesdays, we'll get into a ton with him, including all the juicy stuff that you like, JB.
Like that?
Yep. Analytics, baby.
Sexy stuff.
More when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Still a terrific show coming up. In moments, we'll welcome in Jim Ralph, called the game last night, Toronto Maple Leaf Radio color analyst, top of the hour, Steve Aliquette. And then we'll welcome back our orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Jason Smith. I don't know.
Kipper, I have never met anyone whose phone makes more sounds, like not just one sound, but like
variety.
There's different notifications, wind chimes.
It used to be
a Scarface thing for a little while.
It allows you to kind of
differentiate.
Except I can't remember whose is what. That's my biggest problem. But that's like six concussions, right?
We have our guest.
Yeah.
Do we talk Joseph Woll? Is he going to play again?
Now, if I didn't have six concussions, I'd remember who it is.
We have Jim Ralph.
Jim Ralph!
Yeah.
Ralphie, what's going on, buddy?
How many concussions did I see live?
Far too many. How are you, pal?
Good. I appreciate you having me on after a win.
Yes, exactly. It's not always doom and gloom around here covering the Toronto Maple Leafs. So enough for you to say... They put a few issues behind them from last week moving forward against Seattle Thursday night at home.
Yeah, I think we saw a little more of what we saw in the first five or six games last night. As far as, I mean, you look at, I think every goal but the empty netter started with dumping the puck in and going after it. And so it wasn't the great three-way passing play coming over the blue line. It was, you know, I go back to that first win against New Jersey, the first win of the season for them, where they had three in the first period, and they were all of the ugly kind, you know, bouncing pucks in the crease and tip-ins and screens, and that's what they got back to doing. And, you know, it doesn't mean that the skill isn't there where you can't utilize it at the right time, but I think they got back to not giving up the odd man rushes, not cheating on the forecheck, and they won far more one-on-one battles than they did the three or four previous games.
Ralphie, what do you make so far of the way Craig Berube has evaluated this Leafs roster? Obviously, some guys are getting a little bit more love than previous coach, and some guys getting less. Any surprises in terms of who he's decided he likes and who he doesn't seem to like?
Well, I think he likes Max Pacioretty a lot more now than he... but yeah, that's the same thing. I mean, that's... you know, when you make that coaching change, one thing you've got to realize is everybody starts on a blank page, like a clean slate. And there's going to be things that he likes about certain players and things that he's going to want improvements on. And, you know, I think, Pacioretty's probably a good example. You know, they got off to a decent start, but then healthy scratch and back-to-back games. But a lot of it's going to be necessity, too. You know, if you lose three games in a row, there are enough bodies around that he's not going to hesitate to make changes. But, you know, even with, and of course, as we saw, even, you know, with John Tavares, that it's changed. I think the game in Boston was a season low. It was a little over 14 minutes for Tavares, and he was back up to his normal 18 minutes last night in Winnipeg. So give Berube credit. You know, he's not sitting around and trying to go with the same lines night in and night out. If he doesn't see something, he's going to make a change.
Jim, as far as Tavares going back and reuniting with Willie Nylander, is that just basically now what you expect to see unless they do something outside of what's in-house? Because in-house, we've seen the last 6 weeks, we've seen guys move in and out of the lineup. We've seen Max in there, and now John's back there. So where do you see this moving forward when it comes to the first and second line centermen on the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah, I think Kipper, the first line set. You might move things with, we've seen Nylander go out with Matthews and Marner at times when Berube was trying to get more offense out of them. But I think outside of the top line, which I think is going to be pretty consistent throughout the season, if they're fortunate enough to be healthy. But I think everything else is, I think it's going to be a science lab from now to the end of the season, you know, finding things that work. And the other thing about Tavares last night, he won 76% of his faceoffs. And that is huge, you know, when you start looking at puck possession stats and everything else. And that's, do you want that from your number three center or your number two center, you know? And I think if that's why it was huge that, you know, put Tavares back with Nylander and Pacioretty because, you know, he had the face-off wins and they actually, you know, gutted the game out. Like it wasn't, like I said, pretty where it was odd man rushes and great plays coming off the wing. I mean, it was, you know, dumping in and grind it out. And, I think that's, you know, they're going to struggle with that, I think, for a while. Because whenever you start to hit tough times, I think it's easy to get back into old habits. You know, whether it's leaving the zone early or some bad pinches by the defense. And I think that's, you know, the first half of the season anyway, I think that's going to be their biggest struggle, is to not want to go off leash, you know, when things start getting a little tough.
Mm-hmm. So one place that I'm interested in the Leafs roster is the bottom of the D core. Timothy Liljegren has gotten one game through 10 so far. Myers has gotten a game, but Connor Timmins has kind of become a mainstay in the lineup. How do you see that shaking up over the course of the season? Is it right to continue to give Timmins all these games? Frankly, I kind of like him and wouldn't hate to see him get some power play time, but that's just me, Jim.
Yeah. And hey, don't forget, though, Barney, he had a great training camp last year.
Yeah.
And then got hurt going into the regular season, and I think it limited him to about 25 games. But there's another example of a new coach assessing what he's got. And you know, when you talk about who is a favorite and who isn't, unfortunately for Timothy Liljegren, it looked like it's going to be a wait and see. And let's not forget, you know, you get Jenny Hakanpää back. Mm-hmm. You would think, you know, just looking at the numbers, that it might be Connor Timm as it comes out of the lineup. But the great thing about the NHL, you think you got too many defensemen, just wait a week and see who's healthy at the end of the week.
Right.
I mean, it's a luxury to have a problem, you know, especially with right-handed D.
Ralphie, last night we saw the best power play in the National Hockey League versus one of the worst ones in the Toronto Maple Leafs. Only Washington, Anaheim, and Buffalo have a worse power play than the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, how shocking is this for you with Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, notoriously known as power play guys and world-class talent? And, you know, did you see enough to say that maybe last night they turned a corner a little bit?
I don't know if I'm there yet, Kipper. I think because this actually goes back to, I think, the last February, which is when it started to fall apart. It was stagnant in the playoffs against Boston. And, you know, I think where the frustration comes in is you're not saying, boy, they're getting their chances, but they're just not finishing. I mean, it's, you know, painfully watching them trying to gain the zone off the rush and the power play. And then having it broken up and sent back down. I mean, that's to me been a big source, I think, of frustration for the coaching staff and everything else is the zone entries. That it seems like if the team clears it, you basically killed the penalty off because it'll take them a minute 20 to get back in the offensive zone. So that's to me what the concern is. I mean, Brube again, you know, mixed up the power play lines and it looked like it was better in the sense where it was a shoot-first mentality, not making those 15 passes to get it back where it started. So I did like the fact that it was more two guys going to the net and throw it there. But I think that's why Oliver Ekman-Larsson replaced Morgan Rielly in the first place, because he tends to fire it more from the point. So I think it's a step. I think it's like Craig Berube said after the Boston game. It's closer, but... it's not what they need. There's more work to be done on it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, and then I want JB to get your answer. When the dust settles and you're in the playoffs and you need a big power play goal and you know the first unit's going to absorb most of it, who's at the back end for you, Oliver Ekman-Larsson or Morgan Rielly?
Is Ralphie going first or me?
Oh, you go ahead, Barney. I'll take the other one.
It still feels like Morgan Rielly to me. I know he's been the guy and I know it hasn't worked. It's just, you know, you talk about Ekman-Larsson was the fifth D on Florida. You know, Riley's been in these spots and you hope he's learned and, you know, hope that experience can help him be better. I just don't know that Ekman-Larsson's, I don't know, Kip, I'm torn on that. Hopefully the guy they pick up at the deadline that I don't know about yet.
I would agree with you on that, and I think you like Riley's speed when it comes back to if he's got to go back and retrieve pucks. I like his speed from that point, and you know it's he's on pace for another 20 goal season for him. So it's that might have as much to do with playing with Chris Tanev. I know we talked about this before, but when Rielly had his 20 goal season, he was playing with Ron Hainsey. So. Chris Tanev is similar to the way Ron Hainsey played. If you flip the two, you've still got the other guy coming out in the second unit, which may not feel as important at the time, but I still think they're two pretty comparable weapons to have back there. But I still think you might see, Matthew Nyes on the number one unit at some point. Semi made the comparisons to what Zach Hyman's been able to do, you know, in previous years in Edmonton, which is, you know, use the bit of the frame to win the one-on-one battles, but then go right to the net looking for rebounds or redirections. And I love the way Nyes has played, and especially going to the front of the net. And we saw him, you know, be able to cash in on a rebound last night.
Last one for me. I just want to get your thoughts on goaltending, and what happens now if Joseph Woll struggles? You know, this is supposed to be a split it sort of situation. If he struggles, do you think they should continue to give him games and try to make it a split like they intended to going into the season? Or has it become a thing where it's like Stolarz is playing better, we're going to treat him like a true number one?
Yeah, well, I mean, in fairness, he's only had one game.
But it wasn't up to my standards, Ralphie.
Oh, no. But it's still one game. Just one game. So it's... I think the and this is going to sound like a guy that's at a career of excuses, which I have. It is hard to play a midweek game against a Western Conference team and draw. The building when he played St. Louis, the building was so quiet. There's no buzz or jump, and you know, you make a mistake and you can hear it hit the net. I think in some ways it's easier to get the start on the road. To try to get back into it. So then you look at if he does, in fact, play tomorrow against Seattle, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the feeling is going to be go in there and don't lose it. You know, very seldom are you in that situation, say, against Seattle, where your goalie is going to be the first star and you get the win. So it's a different kind of pressure doing that. But I mean, the bottom line is I think Stolarz has only played a career high 27, 28 games in his career, and Wall played 25 last year. I think you're going to need them both because not that Stolarz couldn't play 55 or 60 games, but just from a wear and tear standpoint, I think you want to be able to have that option going into the playoffs where you've got two guys ready and, you know, hopefully through the course of the regular season, they can get them there.
Ralphie, great stuff as always, man. First star on our show. No question.
All right. Next time we can touch on season 7 of Love is Blind.
Nice.
Thanks, Ralphie.
Jimmy Ralph. Color voice for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So is it an insane thing to suggest Connor Timmins get some power play time on the second unit? He was a point-per-game defenseman his last 2 years as a junior. 41 points in 36 games, goes to playoffs, 18 points in 23 games. Like, he can produce offense. Went to the American League and had a 27 and 40 point, or in 40 games. He can get points.
Okay, so...
He can shoot.
So how do you go about doing this? You give him the first unit, or you give him the second unit?
Yeah, just have him play power play two. I don't think Oliver Ekman-Larsson has been promised anything that he can't sit on the bench and watch Timmins take some reps. I think there's a chance he's their best power play guy. I don't think it's likely to end up happening because he'd have to stay healthy for a whole season and take a lot of reps, but worth a look for a bad power play. I don't know. A
lot of pressure.
Well, yeah. To be the job.
I know, but like for your seventh guy that mixes in and out of the lineup, you're like, now you're the PP1 guy. It's like, holy crap, I better snap a couple in here. You start pressing. That's a lot to ask.
I just don't think it's unreasonable to...
No, I don't think it's unreasonable.
You can work your way in.
Long season. You can try
like
him a couple
said,
games.
He started good last year, got hurt, had mono. This guy falls down manholes and gets hit by space debris. If he can stay healthy, he's a pretty good player. 6'3", 215, upside.
Shoots right.
Yeah.
I think there's a better chance of that happening if they continue to find ways to not put the puck in the net.
Yeah.
Right?
Trying anything soon, you out there?
You on Ralphie's page of going back to Stolarz against Seattle because it could be a sleepy game and then giving Joseph Wall.
I have no idea.
No, get this St. guy Louis. Involved. Let's go. No. Let's start his season already.
Oh, I'm putting Stolarz right back in.
Well, you gotta give Seattle this guy a home. Chance to be a goalie.
I can't take a chance for a second night that Wall's not good enough in at home.
You know when Wall's next start for me is?
It's game 11, guys. You can't start Wall in game 11? Is it so crucial?
You guys are covered on Sunday night. Second half of the back-to-back is Wall's first game. For
and
me.
The answer is yes. It's critical. They're all critical now.
72
They are. They are. How critical is it for the Edmonton Oilers with the potential of Connor McDavid out of the lineup for an extended period of time? We'll get into that on the National Hour. Stick around. Steve Aliquette coming up next. What kind of juice is he bringing?
Same as always, the most juice.
All right. Like I said, Connor McDavid, we'll get our thoughts on how long he could be out potentially and what the Edmonton Oilers looked like without him. That and more. Stamkos' reunion with Tampa as well.
Right.
Coming up next. Don't go away. Real Kipper and Bourne.